The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 30, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on October 27th, 2011, in Vrindavan, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Ya.
Ya.
Mam.
Mam.
Pashyati.
Pashyati.
Sarvatra.
Sarvatra.
Sarvam.
Sarvam.
Cha. Mai pashyati
tasya
aham na pranashyami
sa
cha me na
pranashyati
yomam pashyati sarvatra
Yomam pashyati sarvatra
sarvam cha mai pashyati
sarvam cha mai pashyati
tasyaham na pranashyami
tasyaham na pranashyami
satchameena pranashyati
satchameena pranashyati
yomam pashyati sarvatra
yomam pashyati sarvatra
sarvam cha mai pashyati
sarvam cha mai pashyati
tasyaham na pranashyami
tasyaham na pranashyami
satchameena pranashyati
satchameena pranashyati
ya
whoever
mam me
pashyati
sees sarvatra
everywhere
sarvam
everything
cha
And
mai
in me
pashyati
sees
tasya
for him
aham
I
na
not
pranashyami
am lost
sa
he
cha
also
may
to me
na
Nor
pranashyati
is lost.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. For one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. Purport. A person in Krishna consciousness certainly sees Lord Krishna everywhere. And he sees everything in Krishna. Such a person may appear to see all separate manifestations of the material nature. But in each and every instance, he is conscious of Krishna, knowing that everything is a manifestation of Krishna's energy. Nothing can exist without Krishna, and Krishna is the Lord of everything. This is the basic principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is the development of love of Krishna, a position transcendental even to material liberation. At this stage of Krishna consciousness, beyond self-realization, the devotee becomes one with Krishna in the sense that Krishna becomes everything for the devotee and the devotee becomes full in loving Krishna. An intimate relationship between the Lord and the devotee then exists. In that stage, the living entity can never be annihilated, nor is the personality of Godhead ever out of the sight of the devotee. To merge in Krishna is spiritual annihilation. A devotee takes no such risk. It is stated in the Brahma Samhita 538, Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksadaiva hridayeshu valokayanti Yangsha Mushunja Ramachit Yoganasva Rupango Vindamadi Purushantamahang Vajami. I worship the primeval Lord Govinda, who is always seen by the devotee, whose eyes are anointed with the pulp of love. He is seen in his eternal form of Shamasundar, situated within the heart of the devotee. At this stage, Lord Krishna never disappears from the sight of the devotee, nor does the devotee ever lose sight of the Lord. In the case of a yogi who sees the Lord as Paramatma, within the heart, the same applies. Such a yogi turns into a pure devotee and cannot bear to live for a moment without seeing the Lord within himself. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raguna Tanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Bhadijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So this is what it really means to be Krishna conscious. You see everything connected with Krishna. Everything. In all the actions of the material energy, you see behind the material energy there is Krishna acting. We see this example in Vidura, when he was kicked out of the palace by Duryodhana, which is an action, obviously, of the external energy, the material energy. But he saw the action of the internal energy at the same time, that now this is a great opportunity to become more Krishna conscious, to get out of the palace, all the politics of palace life, and to go on pilgrimage. So the point is, even if the material energy is acting, the spiritual energy is also simultaneously acting. The material energy never acts alone. At every moment, both energies are acting simultaneously. So one who sees the spiritual energy behind every action of the material energy, you see, he's described in this verse. He never feels cut off from Krishna, because he sees how the supreme benevolence, the supreme kindness of Krishna is manifesting at every step. Whether it's in the temple, at the office, traveling here, traveling there, at home, with a devotee spouse or a non-devotee spouse, whatever the situation may be, Krishna is always acting. It's not that Krishna is not allowed in certain areas. Krishna is restricted. How could Krishna be restricted? He owns everything. Krishna is not restricted in any way. He's acting in every situation. So one simply has, this is the vision of a Mahabhagavat, and we should cultivate this kind of vision. By philosophical understanding, we should cultivate this vision. How Krishna is actually acting in all situations, and there's no situation in which Krishna is not present. It's interesting the way Krishna says, one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me. It's very, very interesting to think about that concept. Let's try to understand first how Krishna is everywhere. Prabhupada explains he's within every atom, he's between every atom. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present. When we say that Krishna here is present in Vrindavan, it's certainly a fact. His material energy is less powerful here in the Dham, for those who come in a mood of a pilgrim. But actually Krishna is everywhere. Even New York City or wherever, maybe London, or any place, Copenhagen, Auckland, Christchurch, Delhi, wherever you may go, Krishna is actually present. He's fully present in every place you go. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present. So, if you're not pure enough to actually see him everywhere, then you should philosophically see how he's everywhere. See, that's called Shastra Chaksu, seeing through the eyes of the scripture. The scripture says Krishna is everywhere, so okay. When you look at the material energy, you can think, okay, I don't see him, I just see this wall here. I don't see Krishna. Because I'm covered by the modes of nature. But I can understand that actually Krishna is present right now in front of me, but I just can't see him. So philosophically, you can understand that Krishna is present. That will purify you to remember Krishna, that he's everywhere. And I am, he says, and sees everything in me. Whatever you see is part of Krishna. There's nothing that exists that's not part of Krishna, because everything is his manifested energy. Nothing exists except for the fact that Krishna is emanating it from himself at this very minute. Even you. You have no independent existence from Krishna's emanating you. You can't exist on your own. You only exist because Krishna desires you to exist. And he's eternally desiring for you to exist. So, everything is Krishna. And that's not Mayavadi philosophy. If you take one side, it's Mayavad. If you take both sides, it's Vaishnava. We never say that Krishna is not everything. Krishna is everything. Everything is Krishna. Because everything is his expanded energy. Prabhupada sums it up very nicely. He says, everything is Krishna, nothing is Krishna, except for his original primeval personality. So one may say, well, this is contradictory. How everything can be Krishna and nothing can be Krishna, except for his original primeval personality? Well, it's a fact. You may not understand it, but it's a reality. So if one accepts it on the basis of having faith in the words of Krishna and the words of Guru, that everything is Krishna and nothing is Krishna except for his primeval personality. If you accept it, you put faith in that statement, and then you've gotten an access to gradually realize how it's true. But you think, oh, that's not true. That's the scriptures are not true because they're saying things that are contradictory. Then you never realize it. And the day will come, if you accept these scriptural words, that everything is Krishna and nothing is Krishna except for his primeval personality. If you accept it on the authority of Krishna and Guru, that's a fact. The day will come when you experience it. You'll actually see Krishna everywhere and everything in Krishna. That'll come. To see Krishna everywhere means that everything is Krishna. And to see everything in Krishna means nothing is Krishna except for his primeval personality. It's contained within him, but it's not him. His manifested energy and he are separate. They are two. But they are one because it's his separated energy, his energy, his manifested energy. So one has to learn how to see that Krishna is everything, and everything is Krishna and nothing is Krishna except for his original primeval personality. You have to see both signs simultaneously. And what will be the result? You will never lose Krishna. You will never lose your connection. You'll never lose your Krishna, and you'll never lose your Krishna consciousness. I am never lost means you'll never lose your connection with Krishna, will never be broken. It's like you're on the phone talking to somebody on your mobile, and the connection breaks, the conversation drops, because you lost your connection. But you never lose your connection with Krishna. If you can see that Krishna is everything and nothing is Krishna except for his primeval personality, then that connection will never be broken. You'll always have a powerful signal, you see. An unlimitedly powerful signal connecting you with Krishna. He will not be lost to you. You build it just like you're on the mobile phone, you can hear it. Sometimes on the mobile phone you can hear them, but they can't hear you, or vice versa, you see. But in this connection, you never lose Krishna and he never loses, you never lose touch with Krishna, he never loses touch with you. Both ways stay connected. You ever have that happen on the phone? They can hear you but you can't hear them, or vice versa. Well, that one direction is cut off, the other is not, but one direction is cut. Is it? But here, both connections, both directions are maintained. You never lose your connection with Krishna, and he never loses his connection with you. So in order to be able to have that experience, that sort of connection, unbroken, two-way, what do they call it? Duplex connection? Two ways. There's a duplex speakerphone where you can both, that's called duplex. It's a duplex connection, you see. To maintain a duplex connection with Krishna, you have to understand that Krishna is everything and nothing is Krishna except for his original primeval personality. Now, someone who becomes Krishna conscious, the perfect example of Krishna consciousness is Srila Prabhupada. He's seeing everything in Krishna, he's seeing Krishna everywhere, but at the same time, he can, it's not that he, you know, he can't, he walks, he can't see, only sees Krishna, he can't see the door and he hits his head on the door or something like that. It doesn't mean like that. No, he sees the door, he sees everything in the material world better than we see it. In other words, when you're Krishna conscious, you see Krishna and you also see the material energy better than the materialist will even see it. This is why Prabhupada couldn't be cheated by any rascal like Mr. What was his name? Nair was one, but also in New York City there was another one. Forget his name. Mr. Nair is a good example in India, in Juhu. Because Prabhupada was seeing Krishna, doesn't mean he couldn't see the material energy and Mr. Nair would cheat him. No. The more you become conscious of Krishna, the more you become aware of how the material energy is working also, because it's also Krishna's energy. So devotees doesn't become some, you know, head in the clouds optimist who can't deal with the practical nitty-gritty reality of day-to-day life. No, he's more expert at dealing with the nitty-gritty of everyday life, you see. Because he sees the reality that it's Krishna's energy acting. The material energy is Krishna's energy. This is very nice that nothing can exist without Krishna. So the jnanis are interested in being liberated, emerging into Brahman, but Krishna consciousness is beyond them. This is why it is described Nirvana Vilambitani. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna consciousness is called Nirvana Vilambitani because it minimizes the value of Nirvana, the materialistic conception of liberation. Here Prabhupada cuts down this idea of merging and becoming Krishna. It's spiritual annihilation. Because then you can't have a loving relationship. If you become God, you merge into him. Where's the loving relationship? There is none. And who wants to live in a world where there's no love? It's not really satisfying. So to merge into God, it is not a really good position. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
As you know, means philosophically, that Guru is eternally serving Krishna. Guru is eternally serving Krishna. Mm-hmm. So if Krishna is everywhere, in every atom, that means Guru is also present everywhere. Is that true?
No, he's not like Krishna. He's not all pervading like Krishna. He's a jiva, so not that he becomes the Paramatma. spiritual master is a jiva, so, but he's fully absorbed in serving Krishna 24 hours a day. He's empowered by Krishna to deliver the disciples back to home, back to Godhead. The spiritual master brings the mercy of Krishna to help the disciple become connected with Krishna. Any other questions?
I heard that the impersonalists, they become trees in the next birth.
Trees? Hedonists also sometimes become trees. Gross, sinful people become trees also.
But in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavan is talking that even these impersonalists come to me after many, many births.
Mm.
Finally come to me. He mentions...
Yeah, many, 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 many births. Mm. So do you want to come... Do you want to be relieved from your misery immediately, or you want to wait for many, many births?
Immediately.
Yeah. Krishna says that. Bahunam janmanam ante gyanavamam prapadyate. After many births and death. Why wait for many births and death? Why take a false conception of your spiritual identity, that you are the Supreme? It doesn't make sense. Why waste your time? You're taking so much trouble to become awakened spiritually. Why embrace a false conception, which is actually not true, that you're the Supreme? I mean, it just doesn't make sense at all. If you're going to do penances and austerities to realize the absolute truth, then realize it in full. Why take some incomplete, misleading understanding of the absolute truth? It doesn't make sense. Any other question?
Gurudev, sometimes you speak lies in terms of words.
Lie?
Lies in terms of words, but my intention is not of cheating someone. So I want to ask you about what's the absolute definition of speaking truth or lies?
Speaking truth?
Yeah, what's the absolute definition for it?
Well, for the purpose, in Krishna's service, if you have to lie, you can do that. It's like one time I told one. Formerly I was doing a business to support our senate. With Travel Rama, I was selling tickets to India. Before I became a spiritual master, I was a preacher, but I was doing some part-time business to support our preaching center. And so I had one business partner, Billy. Something. He's a South Indian Christian. So one day I came to his travel agency with prasadam to give him some prasadam cookies. And I said, here's this for you. He said, oh, is it prasadam? Because in India, the Christians know what it's prasadam. It's, you know, not, it's like of the devil, you know, you don't take prasadam. So I said, oh, no. All right. So for Krishna's service, you can tell a lie, but if you do it for your own sense gratification, then you get the karma. But if the purpose is actually for Krishna's service, then it's okay. It's like at your job, you want to be successful, right? And so, you working job now?
No.
Oh, you're just asking theoretically?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's generally better to tell the truth, because lying is risky, because once you tell one lie, then you got to tell another lie to back up the first lie, then a third lie to back up the second lie, and then it gets pretty confusing. You have to tell a fifth lie and a sixth lie and then you have to remember all the lies along the way, which weren't really true, so they're hard to remember. I mean, sometimes a simple lie you can do, but like I did, you know. if you, in some complicated situation, if you tell a lie, it's, it can be very problematic, and when you're caught, it spoils your reputation for being an honest person. So Prabhupada said you have to learn how to catch the fish without getting whipped. I mean, for Krishna's service, we can sometimes tell a lie. Like I asked Prabhupada, if you're doing book distribution in an apartment building and it says, you know, no soliciting allowed, can you, and they tell you, someone says, do you have permission to be here? I asked Prabhupada, can you lie and say yes? And Prabhupada said, yes, you can tell him then. Tell me then. Prabhupada, I asked Prabhupada directly about that. You can actually lie and say, oh yeah, I have permission to be here. Then Prabhupada told me a story. He said that Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, his disciples would go out for collecting. And they would say that our Guru Maharaj, he lived in a solitary place for, it was 12 or 13, I think, I forget the number of years, it was 12 or 13, I think. Our Guru Maharaj lived in a solitary place for 12 years, eating only the tulsi leaf. And they would get donations on the basis of that lie. And he said, when Guru Maharaj heard this, he could scarcely stop laughing. He was laughing, but so he was actually pleased how they were collecting money, even though they were telling a little lie. He laughed about that thing. Living for 12 years in a solitary place, eating only the tulsi leaf. So there is such a thing as lying, but Prabhupada always said you have to be able to catch the big fish without getting wet. He also said it's better to be honest. You know, honestly speaking, it's better to be honest. Because lying can get you... It depends on the situation. But if you're in the office and you're working with people that know what you're doing every day, day in and day out, you tell a lie, you can get in big trouble, you know. If you're not distributing books, it's another thing. I mean, how will he ever know that it was off Krishna Vishadam? The only people who know it was offered was me and Manaji, and we can keep our story together. And it wasn't offered, you know. I mean, it's a simple thing, you can do it, but like, let's say you go to your job and you bring Vishadam, you know, and put it in the break room for all the employees, and the Christians and Muslims say, is this Krishna Vishadam? You say, oh, no. I just made it because it's really good. It's a really good recipe. You'll love it. So you have to, it really depends on the situation. You have to be intelligent enough to make the distinction when it's proper and when it's not proper. But generally the principle is don't lie. But sometimes for Krishna's service, if it really helps, we can sometimes do that. But if you lie to devotees, though, it's not pretty good. If temple managers lie routinely to the devotees, it's not very good. Because they figure it out after a while. So, honesty is the best policy. Any other questions? Yeah.
How to avoid cheating from other materialistic people? How to avoid cheating from other materialistic people by dealing with...
How to avoid being cheated? You have to be always be on the lookout. Just like when we were in the Brussels airport, I had all my luggage in one of those carts, you know. And I turned, spoke to Manaji for a few minutes, and I looked back, and there was some man. He had my cart. He's getting ready to walk away with it, and then he dropped it, and he saw me. And he dropped it and walked away. Then I was standing in the line to check in my luggage. And that same man came up and was going to try to take one luggage off of my cart. The man behind me, he saw this and he tapped me on the shoulder to get my attention. So I turned and I saw the man, and he went get away. He was trying to steal my luggage twice. And so we talked to the police, and see, it happens all the time here. And I have one disciple, Madhavashraya Prabhu. He's a security guard in the Copenhagen airport. It happens all the time. There's luggage thieves in these airports just looking to steal luggage. They'll even buy a ticket. So they get in inside of security. And so they can steal luggage. Even in security. They'll, you know, when it goes to the security line, they'll grab something and walk away with it. So you have to be very, very vigilant wherever you go in this material world, because there's cheaters everywhere. Especially in India. It's heavy. We hired a taxi one time from the airport. We had a prepaid taxi. We paid, you know, so many rupees at the little counter there and got our receipt. We drove all the way here, and then we got to the MBT, and he let us, he said, now you, he said, you pay for the taxi, now you got to pay the driver. Someone who's naive, they may, oh, I'm sorry, how much do you want? You know, some naive person is brand new, they may not, they don't know the etiquettes that, oh, he's supposed to, you know, I think he's telling the truth, but actually just lying, telling a dirty lie. So we knew, we could easily, very seasoned, we knew it was complete nonsense, and we couldn't give him a penny. So you had to be aware that people, everywhere people are trying to cheat, to always be aware, on the lookout for cheaters. In every dealing, in every transaction, you have to be very vigilant. And everything you have is Krishna's property, and you don't want it being used for, by some rascal for sense gratification. You have to be very, very cautious of the cheaters. They're everywhere. Any other question?
How far we can argue with such persons?
Huh?
How far we can argue with such persons?
How far can you argue? Well, there's no argument. You just give them the money, don't they? If somebody... well, it depends on the situation. I mean, you can call the police. You use every tag. If someone actually... If somebody has the money in their hand, they're walking away with it, you can, you know... It depends how strong they are physically. You could knock them down if you have to. They're walking away with the money. A thief is coming to your house to steal. You have a right to use physical force against him. You know, hit him over the head with a lamp. George Harrison, our devotee friend, the former Beatle. Someone broke into his house and was trying to murder him with a knife. So his wife took a lamp and hit the guy on the head, smashed him in the head, and saved George's life. So it's not that we are, oh, I'm non-violent, you know. Now, if we have to use violence even to protect a devotee from being abused, we will do that. She saved his life by crashing on the head with a lamp. So we're not afraid. If violence is necessary, we will use violence. Protect the devotee. Any other question?
We see incarnations of Krishna. At the same time, we also
incarnation of Krishna.
Yeah.
Who?
Krishna.
Krishna.
At the same time, we also. See, jivas also are coming as incarnations. For example, Arjuna, taking the role of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, things like that. So,
Arjuna appeared as Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Did he? Is that Sarvabhauma an incarnation?
The jivas also appearing again and again.
Yeah.
Sarvabhauma coming down. And Arjuna coming.
Yeah, okay, the jivas who appear with Krishna?
Yeah, so that means simultaneously they would be existing in two places. Even jivas also can have the quality of incarnation.
What's
existing
he saying?
In more than one place.
Help me understand.
Krishna is existing in many places, so the jiva also can have...
Yes. that a jiva can also exist in more than one place at a time. That's possible.
And they are liberated.
A liberated soul can do that, yes, by Krishna's arrangement. Yeah. Just like all the, he has his Vrindavan Leela that he's doing all over the universe. It's just like the sunrise is happening at every minute, isn't it? Sunrise is happening at every second, and sunset is also simultaneously happening at every second. You know that? Somewhere the sun is rising right now, somewhere it's setting. And that's happening at every second. At every second, sunrise and sunset are happening in different places. So Krishna's pastimes are all going on eternally in this material world at different places. And that means as associates, are also, he has the associates in all those different leaders too. So liberated souls are his eternal associates. They can also be in different places, different pastimes. Just like when Prakashananda Sarasvati Thakur was here in Vrindavan, he was singing in one place, one pastime of Krishna. He was having visions of Krishna Leela in one place, one pastime, another place, another pastime. It wasn't Krishna alone, it was Krishna and his devotees. So he could see different pastimes of Krishna happening all simultaneously in different places. And so the devotees can also be in more than one place at a time, the liberated soul. Yeah.
That's our last question because it's getting done.
Okay.
In Damodar Ashtakam, we see two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nalakuvera. How are they practicing Prema? Are they practicing
Prema? Are they what?
Prema.
Are they practicing Prema Bhakti?
Right now?
Yes.
How were they delivered? Like we are praying now, like that you also give us Prema Bhakti.
Is they achieve prema? Let's see it.
That's a wrong
Let's see it.
You have.
Let's see the translation.
He is saying that I don't want the Kuvera's sons were there. I just give me the prema bhakti.
Wait, which verse is this?
Seven.
Okay, seven. All right.
Kuvera and Pajo
were delivered and made into great devotees. Okay.
When they were delivered, they became great devotees.
But why did they go back to their own planet? They went back to their own planet. Huh? There, it is a heaven,
you
know, there, how do they practice
Prema? In heavenly planets also, if somebody becomes Krishna conscious, they can practice.
Yeah, because there are very, very little chances, some more of...
There is little practice. Chance, but there is a chance.
Are they now also doing Prema Bhakti?
When Krishna delivered them, so they should know, right?
They became pure devotees. They must have become pure devotees. They were delivered from the curse.
So they went back to their own original place where they were supposed to be positioned.
We went back as devotees, not as karmi.
Yeah. Like Brahmaji is a devotee this lifetime, so some demigods can be also devotees.
Okay, we'll stop here. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai.